And it's 7 o'clock. You're listening to WRIR LP 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. And it's time for If Music Could Talk. Thanks for tuning in this evening. And we're going to start with some music out of Indonesia, the Pop Minang star Eli Kasim. And the song is Langkisau here on WRIR. Don't go anywhere. We have part one of a very exclusive interview with one of my favorite singers in the world, Runa Lela, or as I will sometimes refer to her as Runa G. And I was lucky enough to speak with her last week, and I'll be playing the first half of a two-part interview with Runa Lela herself. But that's coming up in a little bit, so stay tuned. Here's Eli Kasim with Langkisau. Yeah, that one started with a little skip. I don't know what was going on. Maybe just the earth is a little bit off axis, or maybe it's the needle, the record needle. But why don't we go ahead and play the second song on here, too? This is a great one. I think I may have played this on this program years ago, but a couple years have gone by, so it's probably okay to play it again. It's a beautiful one, too. Eli Kasim, Caipirinha.
Babu, why, adik babu. gente que não bebe está morrendo. Eu bebo sim, eu bebo sim. Estou vivendo. Tem gente que não bebe está morrendo. Tem gente que já está com pé na cova. Não bebeu, isto prova que a bebida não faz mal. Uma pro santo bota o choro a saideira, desce toda a prateleira, diz que a vida tá legal. Eu bebo sim, eu bebo sim.
Bebida não faz mal a ninguém.
Estou vivendo.
Bebida não faz mal a ninguém.
Tem gente que não bebe,
não
está morrendo. Eu bebo sim,
ah,
eu bebo
mal,
sim.
Bebida não
estou
faz mal
vivendo. Gente que não bebe está morrendo. Tem gente que detesta o pileque, diz que é coisa de moleque, cafajeste ou coisa assim. Mas esta gente, quando está com a cuca cheia, vira chave de cadeia, esvazia o botequim. Eu bebo sim, eu bebo sim.
Bebida não faz
estou
mal
vivendo.
Bebida não faz mal a ninguém.
Tem gente que não bebe,
não
está morrendo. Eu bebo sim,
água
eu bebo sim.
Bebida não
estou
faz mal
vivendo.
Bebida não faz mal a ninguém.
Tem gente que não bebe,
não
está morrendo.
Ninguém.
Tem gente que já está com pé na cova. Não bebeu, isto prova que a bebida não faz mal. Uma pro santo bota o choro a saideira, desce toda a prateleira, diz que a vida tá legal. Eu bebo sim, bebo sim.
Bebida não faz mal a ninguém.
Estou vivendo.
Bebida não faz mal a ninguém.
Tem gente que não bebe,
não
está morrendo. Eu bebo sim,
água
eu bebo
mal,
sim.
Bebida não
estou
faz mal a
vivendo.
Ninguém.
Gente que não bebe está morrendo. Tem gente que já está com pé na cova. Não bebeu e isto prova que a bebida não faz mal. Uma pro santo bota o choro a saideira, desce toda a prateleira, diz que a vida tá legal. Eu bebo sim.
Bebida não faz mal a ninguém.
Estou vivendo.
Bebida não faz mal a ninguém.
Tem gente que não bebe,
não
está morrendo. Eu bebo sim.
Água faz mal a
bebo
saúde.
Sim.
Bebida não
estou
faz mal
vivendo.
A ninguém. Bebida não faz mal
tem
a ninguém.
Tem gente que não bebe,
não
está
faz mal
morrendo.
A
eu bebo sim. Bebo sim.
Bebida não faz mal a ninguém.
Estou vivendo.
Bebida não faz mal a
tem
ninguém.
Tem gente que não bebe,
bebida
está
não
morrendo.
Cuidado, vacilão!
Yeah, that was Elsa Suarez with Eu Bebo Sim. And before that, we heard Celia Cruz con la sonora Mantancera with La Negrita Sandunguera. Before Celia Cruz, we heard Eli Kasim, two by Eli Kasim, some Pop Minang from Suara Minang, Caipirinho, and Lang Kisao. And you're listening to WIR LP 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and broadcast of WIR is made possible in part by Couscous Restaurant. Couscous offers a seasonal Moroccan and Mediterranean menu, including falafel, lamb, chicken, and vegan dishes, plus desserts made in-house. Open for lunch Monday through Friday with dinner Monday through Saturday. For menu, reservations, or carryout, call 804-358-0868. Or you can visit couscous at 900.com. Couscous900.com. That's Couscous 900 West Franklin Street in the Chesterfield Apartment Building. Thank you, Couscous. And Happy New Year to everyone out there who's been listening to WRAR over the years. We are now, I think, is it eight? We're eight. That's a long time to have a wonderful radio station. And I'm very excited that we're still here. So happy 2013 to everyone. And 8 is lucky, and 13 is lucky, for me especially, because I was born on the 13th. And that's too much personal information there. Okay, so we're going to continue on with the show, and you're listening to If Music Could Talk. Why don't we hear one by Runa Leyla herself? Let's start this off. We're going to start off the interview, start with the song from her great ghazal collection, Runa Leyla Style, Great Ghazals. And this is the fourth track on side two of that LP, actually playing from a vinyl LP here on EMI Gramophone Company of India Limited. This came out in 1981. The song, composed by Dagh, D-A-G-H, is Uzur Ane Main Bihai. So let's let Runa Leyla start off this rest of the hour here, and then we'll get into the interview with Runa Leyla herself.
जाते भी नहीं बात बताते भी नहीं। बुलाते भी
बाड़ा आशनी थी।
You're listening to If Music Could Talk on WRIR LP 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. That was the great Runa Leila singing Homera Babu Chel Chabila. And it was originally sung for a film. We do have that interview coming up with Runa Leila herself. I called Bangladesh and was able to speak to the singer of those last couple songs that you just heard. And we'll be hearing about her incredible career in music in Bangladesh and Pakistan and India, sang in all of those different countries over the years, and has been widely renowned and loved for her voice in all of those countries for various films that she sang for. So, I do want to let you know that this is WRIR, and this is Richmond Independent Radio, community radio, nonprofit, non-commercial radio for the rest of us. And that's WRIR LP 97.3 FM, Richmond. So, did you know that stimulating your children's imagination through art education could make them stronger academically? That's right. Studies have shown that when students are involved in art education, they strengthen their problem-solving and critical thinking skills, which adds to their overall academic achievement and school success. The Visual Arts Center of Richmond offers art classes, gallery programs, and more after school and on weekends. You can learn more at visarts.org. And so thanks for listening. We will start this interview off. And let's start it off right. I should give you a little bit of an introduction to Runa Leila. And also, first, I want to say as a condition here that if you forgive the ums and ahs throughout this conversation, you may also add the factor in that I was incredibly nervous to be speaking to this legendary singer. But I think I did pretty well. And she was very gracious to spend almost an hour on the phone with me, though it was through Skype, talking with me and answering some of my most naive questions, in fact, and doing it very graciously. So thank you again to Runa Leila for this interview, and we'll start it off just to let you know she was born in Sylhet, East Bengal, which is now Bangladesh. Let's let the interview roll, and you can hear more in her own words talking about her career.
Hello.
I'm speaking with Runa Leila.
Yes, speaking.
How are you today?
Yes, hi, how are you?
Great. I really appreciate you taking the time to do an interview with me today. It's really wonderful that you've agreed to do this.
No problem.
Thank you. So, where am I calling you right now? Are you in Bangladesh?
I'm in Dhaka, yes, in Bangladesh.
Okay. I first was introduced to your music through an album that was produced by Bapi Lahiri called Super Runa.
Right.
And after listening to that record, I was just really mesmerized by your voice and sought out a lot of your other recordings over the years. And you have become, I would say, one of my favorite all-time singers.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. And of course, I just want to tell you again what a huge honor it is to be speaking with you today, because I play your music on the radio here in America very often. I guess you're living in Bangladesh now, and is that where your home is based?
Yes, actually, I live mostly in Dhaka, but I have traveled quite a lot for my concerts and travel a lot to India for concerts and recordings and stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And you're still performing concerts regularly, is that correct?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
What was the most recent concert that you did?
The most recent one would be, this was in Hyderabad in India.
Oh, okay.
In November.
Yeah. And you've also been doing some television shows. I remember last time I got a message from you, you were heading to Dubai for the Sur Kshetra talent.
Yes,
talent
I was
show.
Judging. I was one of the judges on that show. It was a talent hunt show. We just finished the finale, which was telecast this Saturday.
Right.
So Yeah, so we're done with that. And yeah, that's it.
And some of your fellow judges are also legendary singers, like Abida Parveen and the great Asha Bhosle, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so you've probably had a friendship with both of those singers over the years.
Well, actually, we haven't interacted as much as we would have liked to before this. But on the set, during the show, during the shooting, we became very close to each other, especially Ashaji and I. We became very good friends. Although, of course, she's my senior and I respect her immensely.
Yes.
Not only for her talent, but because of the person that she is.
Yeah.
And so we had a great time whilst we were shooting, and we became good friends.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So that was nice. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And she's become like part of the family, and she's accepted me as part of her family. So whenever we are in each other's town, we interact and we get together, we have dinner together, and we speak to each other. So it's pretty nice.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And what is so unique about this particular show? I mean, why did you agree to be a judge?
Well, actually, it was quite unique in the sense that there were two nations that were contesting, one from Pakistan, one from India. And there were two captains for the two teams. One was for the Pakistan team, it was Atif Aslam, and Indian team was Himesh Reshamya.
Oh.
And for the judge from India, they had Ashaji, and for Pakistan, they had Abda Parveen. And I was a neutral judge, since
okay.
I was from Bangladesh.
Oh, so, I see.
Yeah. So basically, it was quite a novel idea, I thought. And it was to bring the two nations closer through music.
Mm.
So I thought it was, it would be really nice if I could be a part of that.
It's quite different as a concept for a show because it
totally yes.
ignores the political boundaries of the countries. And,
yes, you know. That's true.
And I mean, of all people, I'm sure you are very used to the concept that music crosses all boundaries, since
absolutely.
You apparently sing in more than, is it 12 or 13 different languages?
18 languages.
18 languages. So
yes.
That's incredible. Well, I don't want to get ahead of myself because I have a lot of questions, but I don't know how much time you have, so I don't want to take up too much of your time. But I'd like to speak with you this evening about your incredible career, and I was hoping on
okay.
Giving our audience a little glimpse into your history as a singer and how you got to where you are today, and now one of the most celebrated singers in the world, and someone who has sung thousands and thousands of songs. So I'd like to go back to the very beginning. In your youth, you and your sister had lessons in the house from a music ustad.
Yes.
And I was wondering if you could tell me about those early days of learning music in your childhood home.
Well, actually, my sister Dina Laila, she was the one who was training for training in music. She was learning classical music. And I was very fond of dancing. So I took up dancing for 4 years, which I loved. And I learned different forms of dance, like Kathakali, Bharatnatyam, Kathak. So then somehow or the other, because of the atmosphere in the house, my mom was a good singer. So, there was music all the time in the house. My father was a great fan of music. So I somehow drifted into music and I started learning music at the same time when I was about 4 years old.
Wow.
Yes. And when I was 6, I made my first public debut on stage. And I, I'm told that I sang a classical number, rag.
Yeah.
And after that, I got a lot of appreciation, and a lot of awards were announced, cash prizes, and it was pretty encouraging for me. And then, when I was about 9 years old, I participated in an inter-school music competition. and I won that competition. And when I was 12 years old, I was approached by a film producer who had come in from Lahore to do a song for his film. The song was to be picturized on a 12-year-old boy on the screen. So, yeah, but initially my parents were not very into it. They didn't want me to take up singing professionally, to sing in films. But gradually they managed to convince my parents, and after rigorous training for about a month, I recorded my first song for a film when I was 12 years old. This was a Pakistani film called Jugnu.
जुगनू का भूत अभी तक तुम्हारे सर से नहीं उतरा।
जुगनू।
अच्छा बेटा, अगर तेरी यही जिद है, तो हम मंजूर। तू जुगनू से।
Started my career in Pakistan and sang thousands of songs in Lahore and in Karachi for Sindhi films, Gujarati, Pashto, Punjabi, Urdu. You name it, I sang for every film possible.
Yeah.
And then in 74, we came to Bangladesh to live here. And in 74, end of 74, I was invited by the Indian Council for Cultural Relations to perform in Delhi, Mumbai, and Kolkata. And that's how it all started.
Yeah, yeah. Tell me about the Zia Mohiuddin show.
Oh, yes. Well, this was another unique concept. Zia Mohiuddin is a very popular figure, not only in the subcontinent, but also internationally. He's worked with Omar Sharif and a lot of well-known people.
Yeah.
And he used to do a show along with me. It's called the Zia Mohiuddin Show, where I was also hosting it. Co-hosting it, and I was also singing on it. So that was something quite different. And then we did a couple of songs, duet songs, which people liked a lot. One was called Shakira Ki Maa Ye Boli. So that became quite a hit. So yeah, that was nice. And then I did a fortnightly program called Bazme Laila on television, on PTV. I used to do five songs on in each episode, and in each song, I would change my my costume, my hairstyle, my makeup, everything according to the song. So it was something quite new at that time, because this kind of concept, especially performance, wasn't at all a part of singing at that time. So I started this whole business of performing while singing. So that caught on quite a bit.
And I guess your experience having studied dance a little bit came in handy
in that
situation.
Because now it just automatically, spontaneously it comes out. When I'm singing, I sometimes don't even realize what I'm doing, but I'm dancing dancing to the song and making people dance.
Gulabi
where was that televised? I mean, where was it broadcast?
This was Pakistan TV.
Okay.
TV Karachi.
Because I wanted to ask you about a video that I've seen on YouTube for the song Jab Se Gaya Mera Bachpan.
Bachpan.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
And you must have seen that video clip. How old were you at
yes.
that?
I don't know. Probably 15, 16 or maybe 17, I'm not sure.
It's wonderful because you've got this wonderful hairstyle and you're wearing the bell-bottom trousers. And
yes, and at that time, you know, wearing trousers or jeans on screen were a complete no-no.
Oh, wow.
So I broke all these taboos and, you know, initially people criticized it, but eventually everybody fell in love with the whole idea because
yeah.
it was something different. Because I think when you're performing on stage or on television, it's much more a visual thing than anything else. Of course, the song is very important, but then, you know, the way you look, the way you perform is also very important. That sort of adds to the whole beauty of the song.
Mm, definitely. So the beginning of your career for soundtracks was for Pakistani films, right?
Yes.
And of course, someone who was already a huge legend was Noor Jahan.
Absolutely.
Someone you probably idolized when you were growing up.
Of course, everybody did. I mean, as a kid, we grew up listening to Madam Noor Jahan and Lata ji and Asha ji, Rafi saab, you know,
yeah.
great people, great artists. So, yeah, we all had a little bit of them in us.
How did you find the experience of recording at first? I mean, when you were first invited to sing in a studio, who was the first person who brought you into the studio, showed you the ropes, showed you, you know, how to stand in front of the microphone and that kind of thing? And were you singing for a live band?
Well, actually, the person who was entirely responsible for me coming into film is the music director of that film, Jugnu, Mr. Manzoor Hussain, who trained me for 1 month, and he taught me all the techniques of singing into a mic and, you know, positioning and throwing and all that, you know, all the technicalities which I wasn't aware of because I was also still very young.
Yeah.
And I had absolutely no idea about the technique, film technique. So he taught me all that. For 1 month, he trained me rigorously. And when I went to the studio after a month, it was so easy. I mean, I just sang my heart out completely. And it was, it became very easy for me to sing that particular song because I had rehearsed it over and over and over again until I got it right. And of course, we had the live recordings and we had the musicians playing at the same time, and so it was very difficult because it would take very long to finish one recording, and I was also in school at that time, so I had to finish my recording. Sometimes it would finish early in the morning, and then I'd rush back home and have my breakfast and change and go to my school. So it was tough, but my mom was very encouraging. And my dad was also very encouraging. And, of course, I got a lot of support from my sister, Dina Leo. And so that kept me going. And I managed to get a first division in my 10th grade, which was, you know, very nice for me because I thought I would probably flunk it. Because I was mostly in Lahore recording for films. But, yeah, but somehow I managed to do well in my studies as well.
As well.
Yes.
And as you've said several times already, I know your mother was very supportive of you, even though this was a different scenario for a young person. She was very supportive mm-hmm. of you. And did she actually, this is Amina Leila, right?
Amina Leila, that's right.
Yeah. And did she, did I read that she passed away last year?
She passed away whilst I was shooting for Silk Kshetra. She was in hospital and she was very ill. This was in January.
Oh.
And I came back and she passed away the following day. And it's going to be a year now, this January 29th.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's still pretty raw.
It's been a tough year.
It's been very tough.
Yeah.
Yes.
But she actually wrote some of the lyrics for some of your songs?
She wrote some songs in Bangla, which I sung for Bangladesh television.
Yeah.
And also did some private recordings. But apart from that, mostly the film songs are written by different lyricists.
Going back to some of your earlier recordings, I have an LP of yours called Runa Leila, The Teenage Prodigy on EMI Records. And that was a collection of some of your popular songs of the day. And there's this really adorable photo of you that you can't be much older than 16. But at this point, you had already recorded thousands of songs.
Yes.
And the liner notes state, just as you were just remembering, Runa has made a permanent abode in Karachi and frequently dashes off to Lahore, the film capital, for recordings. The picture of an emancipated, sophisticated young lady endowed with the qualities of a great artiste, the golden-voiced Runa Leila, promises to become a legend in her own time. And of course,
where did you get this?
It's all on the back of this LP. Actually, that was
all right.
That was written by Yusuf Jiwani for your EMI, the Teenage Prodigy LP.
And right. What picture does it have on the cover?
It's got you in a blue-green sari with a golden necklace on. There's a song on here, the one I've marked that I really like is Nagma O Sher Sehai from Saugat.
Saugat. Nagma O Sher Sehai, Pyar Mujhe.
Written by Sohail Rana.
Yeah, it was composed by Sohail Rana.
Yeah.
The music.
शेर से है प्यार मुझे नगमा शेर से है प्यार मुझे कभी इस दिल पे इख्तियार मुझे नगमा शेर से है प्यार मुझे Thank you.
It's almost 8 o'clock, and you've been listening to a exclusive interview with Runa Leyla, vocalist of several different decades of film music, very popular in Pakistan, Bangladesh, and India, but in all of those countries and all over the world, she's known for her excellent singing, wonderful voice, and just an incredible artist. So again, that's what you've been listening to, and I feel very grateful to be bringing it to you. We've got two parts, and we're going to finish up the first part of this and then get back into a more eclectic mix of music for the last part of the show. But I want to let you know that you're listening to If Music Could Talk on WRIR LP 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. This is your community radio station, and happy 2013 to you, and thanks for listening this evening. Here is a PSA before we get into the rest of that part one, and we'll be talking about Runa Leyla's, Runa D's biggest hit, one of her biggest hits, the epic Shabazz Qalandar, right at the top of the hour. But first, a PSA for you.
My name is Alice Connor, and this is Zoe. Zoe is part of my family and lives indoors. In 2005, two dogs who had spent most of their lives chained outdoors killed my two-year-old cousin, Jonathan. Jonathan loved dogs, and he had no idea how dangerous chained dogs can be. Chained dogs are three times more likely to attack people because they don't get the companionship and exercise they need and crave, and that can frustrate them and drive them crazy. For your family's sake and for your dogs, please never chain your dog.
Visit PETA.org.
You're listening to If Music Could Talk on WRIR. And before the break, we heard a song from 1970 sung by Runa Leyla for the film Sogat, music by Sohail Rana and lyrics by Masroor Anwar. Nagma O Sher Sehai was the name of the song. Beautiful song. And earlier, she was speaking about her first film that she sang for Jugnu. Wasn't able to actually find the song in that film, but I will keep looking. There's all kinds of little missing pieces here, but hopefully you're getting a good picture of this wonderful artist's history. So without further ado, let's continue the interview.
The song Dama Dam Mast Qalandar, which was one of your most famous hits. Can you tell me about the history of that song?
Well, this song is actually a devotional song. Nobody knows who's written it and how many years ago it was written or who composed the song. It's been sung by almost everyone in their own way and style and own versions. I've sung it in my own version, in my own style. And incidentally, when I went to India for the first time in 1974 to perform, I always end my programs, my concerts with this particular song because it's Shabazz Qalandar is a very renowned Sufi, a peer we call. This song is sung when they have the urs at Shabazz Qalandar's mazar. So they sing this song. So incidentally, when I went in 1974 to perform in India, I rounded off my concert with this particular song, and I didn't realize that it would become such a major hit.
Yeah.
And even now, wherever I sing, even in Bangladesh, as soon as I go on stage, people start screaming for Dama Dama Mast Qalandar. And this song actually has some quality which even I can't fathom, because it just sort of drives you completely berserk, you know, the beat and the words and everything about it is something totally, you know, different and very moving.
There's a recording I have of yours doing a whole 25-minute version of this.
You have quite a nice collection.
Yeah, that's kind of an updated, very modern-sounding recording, the Shabazz Qalandar.
Yes.
very long. It's like a full album with just one song, right?
Yes. Yeah. I did that in Karachi some time ago.
Yeah.
Oh, hey.
you're also very well known for your singing of ghazals. The form of ghazal, that song, it's a very important style of song. Can you tell our listeners? Can you tell our listeners a little bit about ghazal?
Well, it's a very different style of singing, and you have to know how to sing a ghazal properly. And I've been trained by none other than Mehdi Hasan Saab's elder brother, Pandit Ghulam Qadir, who trained me in ghazal singing, because it's a completely different technique and completely different style of singing. So not everyone can sing ghazals, I think. But I was very keen on singing ghazals, so I trained under him. And in most of my concerts, I perform ghazals as well as the other songs.
Yeah. They're very emotional songs, and a lot of times speak of longing for
the loved one, and or being separated from them or something like that. It's always very sad.
And you have several entire albums of ghazals. There's two here that I love both of these. There's one called Chalo Tumne Kisi Ke Saath.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another one called Wafa Ka Naam.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
try not to play these whole songs because I can only play so many songs by one artist in an hour. But so beautiful, these last two Ghazal songs that we heard. That was Wafa Kanam, and before that, Chalo Tomne Kesike Sat. And I want to thank three people in particular, Karishma Shobana, and also Ren. All three of them helped me translate various song titles. Those last two, Wafa Kanam, apparently something about being known for faithfulness in these times, in this generation, which may be kind of a rare thing, to be honest and faithful. And before that, Chalo Tumne Kisike Sat, the song sort of roughly translated to, all right, okay, at least you committed to somebody. So both very sad, heart-wrenching songs. And we'll play one more of those Ghazal. This one especially for Shobana, the song Ranjishi Sahi.
Ranjishi Sahi Dil hi dukhane ke liye Ranjishi Sahi Aap se mujhe chhod ke jaane ke liye Aap se mujhe chhod ke jaane ke liye Ranjishi Sahi पहले से मरासिम न सही फिर भी कभी तो पहले से मरासिम न सही फिर भी कभी तो रस्म रहे दुनिया ही निभाने के लिए ranjishi sahi kis kis ko batayenge judai ka sabab hum kis kis ko batayenge judai का सबब हम तू मुझसे खफा है तो जमाने के लिए आ रंजिशे सही कुछ तो मेरे पिंदारे मोहब्बत का भरम रख कुछ तो मेरे पिंदारे मोहब्बत का भरम रख तू भी तो कभी मुझको मनाने के लिए आ रंजिशे सही एक उम्र से हूँ लज़्ज़ते गिरिया से भी महरूम एक उम्र से लज़्ज़ते गिरिया से भी महरूम ऐ राहत जा मुझको रुलाने के लिए
दिल ही दुखाने के लिए आ आगे से मुझे छोड़ के जाने के लिए आ रंजिश ही सही दिल ही दुखाने के लिए आ रंजिश ही
Ghazal, sung by Bruna Lela, who we've been speaking with here. We're almost finished with part one. There's just a little bit here talking about some of the Bangla songs, Bangladeshi songs. And next time, we're going to feature Bruna Lela and her transition through the 70s and early 80s. Did a whole lot of work with all kinds of different producers, including Bappi Lahiri and many others. It had kind of that disco new wave kind of sound, a lot of her stuff. And she did some stuff with Bappi Lahiri, as I said, so that would be the obvious connection with the disco. But we'll focus on that next time. So anyway, let's continue this little bit of part one here.
You're also a huge star back home in Bangladesh. Did your life in Bangladesh change as you started to achieve international fame? I mean, obviously Bangladesh will always be your home, but you've lived so many different places, and now you're back. Did that change?
I think I belong to the world. I think every artist belongs to the world. You can't just sort of pin an artist down to one particular place. Of course, I am Bangladeshi. I am Bengali. I live in Bangladesh. But I sing everywhere.
Yeah.
I think I'm probably the only singer that has had the privilege of singing in all three countries of the subcontinent. And I'm really proud of that achievement because, God gave me that chance and, I sang in Pakistan, singing in Bangladesh, I'm singing in India, and I do concerts in Pakistan as well. So it's really unique. And for me, it's a blessing.
Well, you must have learned a lot about the world through singing all these songs in different languages. And there's so many different styles of poetry, different rhythms, and also different cultural traditions in each style of song. The Bangla songs in particular, there's something about the Bangla songs that tell about stories and folk tales that are very specific to Bangladeshi culture. Songs like Bako Jako Jai Karo.
yes.
there's one about the people of the village think someone did black magic on me. It's Barir Manush Koyamai.
Koyamai Tavich Kurese.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The more popular one is Shadir Lao Banailo More Boiragi.
O shadhe lao banailo more boiragi
Also, Bandhu Tindin Tor
Barit. Bandhu Tindin.
Yeah.
Jalam Dakha Palam Na.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. There's also Jyotishi Go Jyotishi.
Mm-hmm.
That's about a palm reader, right?
You know quite a lot of Bangla, it seems.
Well, I had a friend, my friend Rehnuma, and her mother Famida both helped me translate a lot of these titles before the interview. So,
what's the name? Rehnuma. Rehnuma and Famida. Hi, how are you? Thanks for helping Carl out with Bangla songs. Appreciate that.
বন্ধু তিন দিন তোর বাড়িতে গেলাম দেখা পাইলাম না বন্ধু তিন দিন তোর বাড়িতে গেলাম দেখা পাইলাম না বন্ধু তিন দিন গাঙ পার হইতে ছয়া না ফিরাইতে ছয়া না গাঙ পার হইতে ছয়া না ফিরাইতে ছয়া না আইতে যাইতে বারো আনা উসুল হইল না বন্ধু তিন দিন হায় হায় ও বন্ধু তিন দিন তোর বাড়িতে গেলাম দেখা পাইলাম
You're listening to WIR LP 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
জ্যোতিষি গো জ্যোতিষি হাত কই না ক দেখি মনে মনে যারে যাই তারে পামু কি আমি মনে মনে যারে যাই তারে পামু কি সোয়াশের চাউল দিমু সোপাজানা পয়সা দিমু আধা পোয়া দিমু সাথে খাঁটি গাওয়া ঘি হো জ্যোতিষি গো জ্যোতিষি হাত কই না ক দেখি মনে মনে যারে যাই তারে পামু কি হরে মনে মনে যারে যাই তারে জ্যোতিষি গো জ্যোতিষি ক দেখি হবে সে কি পরীক্ষাতে পাস তা না হলে আমার কিন্তু মহা সর্বনাশ হরে মহা সর্বনাশ একখান ছাতি দিমু এক জোড়া জুতা দিমু কার সাথে দিমু আরো হাত দেখার ফি জ্যোতিষি গো জ্যোতিষি হাত কই না ক দেখি মনে মনে যারে যাই তারে পামু কি আমি মনে মনে যারে যাই তারে পামু কি ज्योतिषी गो ज्योतिषी कौ देखी बीए देखी सब क्यों बार सईते जे पारो ना दुसंबाद हरे दुसंबाद
and you're listening to WRIR, Richmond Independent Radio Station.
Thanks for listening to that wonderful part one interview of interview with Runa Leyla, and we'll continue with part two at a later date. Maybe we'll just go right into it next week. But I want to just say again thanks to Runa Leyla herself for that wonderful interview, and thank you to you, the listeners out there, for listening tonight. So let's see, what shall we do next? I think what we're going to do is play a song by The Police.
Don't
Yeah, that's right. Music says it best here on WIR. That was Carlton Patterson and King Tubby, Sabotage. Before that, another one by Carlton Patterson and King Tubby's Zone Dub. So, yeah, beautiful dub instrumentals there by the legendary producers. And we've got about 15 minutes left in the show here. We also heard Holly Cook back there with Used to Be, dub version from Holly Cook in dub. She's UK, produced by Prince Fatty, and some really cool stuff there too. Love that vocalist. Love Holly Cook's voice. She's a wonderful singer, and she's taken dub and reggae in a different direction, so it's cool. We also heard The Police with Rehumanize Yourself, and this is If Music Could Talk. Why don't we continue with a little bit of old school cumbia? This is Lisandro Mesa, and it says El Siete is the name of the song.
Thank you.
almost out of time here, but stay tuned for Stunna Development. Thanks for listening.